Hello, everyone. The encouraging words that I would like to share with you today come from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 and 11. Peter says here, "Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow." Have you ever wondered, have you ever asked yourself, why was I born? And maybe even the bigger question, is there something else out there? Is there something I'm supposed to know or to be a part of? And God assures us in his word that there is something we should know and be a part of, and we should take hold of it and really dedicate our lives to it. Peter, as he begins this letter, speaks to those who are the pilgrims of the dispersion, and he says to them that they have a living hope, and he shares that same hope with them. He tells them the inheritance of God, which is undefiled, does not ever fade away. He compliments them for their faith. He says to them, literally, the genuineness of your faith is why you love the Lord, whom you have not seen. And I can appreciate that, and I'm sure that you can too, because we've not seen Jesus either. And he also tells them, I know that you love the Lord, and I know that you believe, even though I also know that you're being grieved by various trials. What a challenge they must have faced in the first century, but also tied to that was the fact that they loved the Lord. One of the interesting things about this passage, and the reason why I think it's encouraging for you, is because Peter mentions the prophets who wrote about the salvation that we enjoy. He says, when the prophets wrote about this salvation, they struggled with what they wrote. They didn't find these revelations of God on the ground somewhere. These things were given to them, and they were commanded to write them down. Peter tells us about the great difficulty these prophets faced when they wrote them down. Those who prophesied of this grace inquired and searched carefully to see what these things meant. And then Peter says it wasn't given to them. It wasn't for them. It was given to them so that they would write it, but the full understanding was not for them. And so if you ever ask yourself, you know, why am I here? Why did the Lord choose this time for me to be a part of this life on the earth? We are in a very, very important moment of time on the other side of the cross, because everything the prophets wrote about and prophesied of, they spoke of Jesus and the great glory that would be revealed in him and of his sufferings. And yet they didn't know what they were writing. They had a picture, a small picture. And when you think about the prophets who wrote, you say, well, which prophets? What prophets? All of them? Some of them? Peter actually tells us in Acts chapter 3 when he says, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many have spoken, have also foretold these days. Acts 3 and verse 24. All the prophets. Think about that. On a timeline, all the different men who wrote the prophecies concerning Jesus, Samuel. Peter mentions Samuel in Acts chapter 3. So we know Samuel's one of them. David is a prophet of God. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, all the prophets. And Peter tells us that they all longed to see what their message actually meant and ultimately what has been clearly shown to us. And I would include John the Baptist in that. Kurt and I had discussed John the Baptist just a week or so ago and his concern, his doubt that he had because he was in prison and he was worried about what Jesus was doing and whether or not he was the one that they should be looking for or if they should be looking for another. John the Baptist struggled with his prophecies concerning Jesus, and Jesus was there. And so he longed to look into, he longed to see more perfectly what was being done. And it wasn't given to him. Jesus says in Luke's gospel that John the Baptist is the greatest prophet born among women. The greatest. But greater than John is the least of these who are now in the kingdom. That we're greater than John because of what we know and what we understand. Peter says, it was written for you. Again in verse 11, they searched what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And you can pick any Old Testament passage that is a prophecy of Christ and his coming. And you can see as you read just a portion of who Christ is and what he will ultimately do, that the one who wrote it, the one who was given this inspired truth, struggled with that. What does this mean? What else is there? What's behind this message? There's a really good illustration that I found to kind of explain what it would be like for one of these men to have a prophecy given to them and be told to write it down by the Lord himself. It's like this. If you're driving toward a mountain, let's say you're driving up towards the Rocky Mountains, and you're hundreds of miles away, that the first time that the Rocky Mountains come into view, it looks like just one giant hill, and it just kind of stretches out. And you can't tell much more than that. It's too far away. You can't see the details of the mountain. But as you get closer, you start to see that, oh, this thing's bigger than I initially thought. You get even closer, and you realize it's not just a hill. It's not a clump of dirt that's piled on the earth. These are marvelous, majestic mountain ranges. It's not just one peak. There are hundreds of peaks as you go along the Rocky Mountain range. And so getting closer to it, seeing it, touching it, watching all the things that take place on that mountain, that's when you will fully know about the Rocky Mountains. Not from seeing it from a distance. You know something, but you don't nearly know all that is to be known about the mountain, what it looks like, how tall it is, and all the beautiful things that are found there. It wasn't for them. Who was it for? It was for you. And that is so encouraging. It was for me. The timeline that we're on, that God preserved these things from the beginning, the mystery that was kept secret from the foundation of the world was revealed through Jesus Christ and his apostles. And we have their message. We know that the prophets were troubled about the things they were given to write. They weren't the only ones who were given these prophecies and yet didn't understand. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. I want to read it again, but I'm going to add verse 12. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the grace that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. There couldn't be a more honorable thing to be said that as these things were unfolding, not just the prophets who were writing them, they searched diligently and carefully to see what else they could understand about Jesus. But the angels desired to look into that. You see how important you are. You see how long God waited in the work that he did year after year after year as this earth has been standing. It is for you. The angels didn't understand. Paul tells us in Ephesians 3 that the unsearchable riches of Christ and the grace that has been given was a mystery from the beginning of the ages. Ephesians 3 in verse 10 says this, to the intent that now at this time the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. The manifold wisdom of God is supposed to be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. What is given to us is so precious. It is the love of God through the shedding of the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. We have it. It was done for us. Take hold of it. Be encouraged by this truth and walk upright. Follow the Lord. Be like Jesus as much as you can. You won't regret one second of it, and you'll draw yourself closer to God.